name is Asata, and I am a scientific and medical illustrator. The thing I love the most about my job is not just the projects and their impact, but the science behind them and the amazing people I get to meet along the way. So get comfy and welcome to the Bio Studio. Hello, and welcome back to the Bio Studio. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Asata, and I am the owner of Legacy Bio Studios. I'm a medical illustrator. I hope you're having a great day, because I'm about to ruin it. Kinda. Actually, yes. The topic today might be triggering, but it's important. If you don't have the space to listen now, come back later. But if you do, thank you for your time and energy. Today, we're discussing Adriana Smith, medical history, the experiences of Black women, and what this means for women today. As a medical illustrator, one of my jobs is to be hyper aware of how Black women and people of color in general are represented or, in some cases, erased in medicine. Let's get into a bit of history for context. Many of us are familiar with James Marion Sims, often referred to as the father of modern gynecology. His surgical breakthroughs came at the expense of enslaved Black women who were operated on without anesthesia. These women were not seen as human enough to him, as documented in his journals and as people have reported from things that he had said. He did not see them as human enough to deserve pain relief. But this isn't just the distant past. Harriet Washington's Medical Apartheid details how Black bodies have been used for research, dissection, and development of medical knowledge back then, as well as it has continued to now, often without consent and often without care. This history is foundational to how medicine operates today and how Black patients experience it. Now, with that said, my dad grew up in the deep South. He's suspicious of doctors, to say the least. But when he needed a minor surgery, my sister and I spent months trying to get him to agree. He feared careless treatment. He feared death on the table. He's fine now, thankfully, but his fears were valid, especially with how he was raised, where he grew up, what he knew. And for someone like Adriana Smith, those fears were well-founded. Now, about Adriana's story. Back in May, my feeds were full of thoughts and responses to the breaking story about Adriana Smith. Adriana was 30. She was a nurse. She was already a mother. And she was 9 weeks pregnant when she was experiencing severe headaches and sought care at a hospital. From what I understand, she was refused treatment because of her pregnancy and ultimately had complications and passed away. Now, I want to talk about 9 weeks. What does 9 weeks pregnant mean? Well, 9 weeks is 2 missed periods. 9 weeks is within the first trimester and probably not showing yet. 9 weeks is the first week identified as a fetus as opposed to an embryo. This was not a late-term pregnancy. 9 weeks is not viable. But she was kept on life support as a brain-dead woman to essentially incubate her fetus. Her parents didn't ask for this. She didn't ask for this. And this unfortunately mirrors a long history of Black women being treated as experiments rather than patients. Looking at maternal mortality rates in the U.S. alone, Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die of a complication with their pregnancy, and roughly 80% of those complications are preventable. Something that came to my attention is that education is not a factor in reducing these rates. And Dr. Shalon Irving is a prime example. Dr. Irving was an epidemiologist at the CDC. Her entire career was dedicated to studying how systemic inequities affected health. She had a PhD and a master's in public health. She had every possible advantage of knowledge and access. And yet, after giving birth in 2017, she repeatedly told doctors and nurses something was wrong. She was ignored. 3 weeks later, she died of complications from high blood pressure. These stories show that self-advocacy, education, or wealth cannot fully protect Black women in the U.S. from preventable maternal deaths. So, what can? I often recommend Medical Apartheid by Harriet Washington because it makes visible something too often erased, the exploitation of Black bodies as the foundation of American medicine. Black people weren't experimented on to heal them. They were used to advance knowledge for the benefit of others, often white patients. That erasure carried over into medical illustration. Growing up, when I went to the doctor or the dentist, granted, my dentist was my mom, but still, I didn't see myself in the pamphlets or the posters. Everything showed white patients. As a kid, I assumed maybe people of color just weren't included in research. Later, I learned the truth. Black people were often the ones being studied, often cruelly, but they weren't being illustrated. The research was done on Black bodies, but the images were created to serve a white public. Max Brodel, often referred to as the father of modern medical illustration, and many of his students created exquisite, detailed works that significantly shaped the field, but their subjects were overwhelmingly white. The lack of representation carried forward into atlases like Netter's in the late 20th century, where only a small fraction of illustrations by later contributors such as Carlos Machado began to feature patients of color. This means that for generations, the default skin tone in medical illustration was white. That shaped how medical professionals were trained. They literally didn't see diversity on the page. And that matters, because how can a Black mother or any patient of color feel fully seen if the materials never show bodies that look like theirs? Representation isn't just symbolic. It affects whether patients feel that medicine is for them. Even something as basic as post-surgical care handouts illustrates this gap. Line drawings may seem straightforward to doctors, but to patients without anatomy training, they can be confusing. If the images are too abstract or don't reflect the patient's body, people can walk away without knowing how to care for themselves properly. That's why Adriana Smith's story resonates with me. It's not only her tragedy, it's part of a longer history of race, medicine, and visibility. And it's why I do the work that I do, to ensure that today's patients finally see themselves in medical imagery. Medical illustration is taught as a tool for education, supposedly objective and apolitical, but it has always carried another role: marketing. Visuals don't just teach, they signal who medicine is for and what quote-unquote normal looks like. Using Black patients for medical research but illustrating only white bodies wasn't neutral. It sent a message. This system is for white patients, and for people of color, it said the opposite. This is not your space. History shows how far that message went. In the 19th century, some physicians even displayed dissected Black bodies or kept skeletons of Black people in their offices. It was a medicalized form of terror, a way of saying, don't resist. This could happen to you. So how do we build trust in a system with that history? For me, one answer is illustration. By showing diversity, by being intentional about representation, I can help patients and providers see medicine as a place that includes them. Medical images aren't just educational tools. They're messages about belonging. My goal is to help rebuild trust where it has historically been denied, one illustration at a time. With that trust, my goal is also to build effective self-advocacy. Knowing your body, knowing your risks, understanding basic concepts like diabetes, hypertension, chronic illness, these aren't just facts, they're tools. If you can name your body parts, understand how chronic conditions work, know your family history, and engage with your care actively, you can advocate more effectively. Digital literacy is critical too, knowing how to spot reliable medical sources online. Even so, advocacy alone is not enough to protect against systemic inequities, as Adriana and Dr. Irving's stories show. But it is a powerful tool when combined with a system that listens. Adriana's case forces a question. Just because medicine can do something, doesn't mean it should. Keeping a brain-dead woman on life support to incubate a fetus, this is a modern echo of medical exploitation that has haunted Black women for centuries. The National Research Act of 1974 was a direct response to the public outcry over the Tuskegee syphilis study. As a result, institutional review boards were established to oversee studies. The Belmont Report of 1979 was a combination of the National Commission's work establishing three core ethical principles that guide all human subject research. Respect for persons, focusing on informed consent and special protections for vulnerable populations. Beneficence, an obligation to maximize potential benefits and minimize potential harm. And justice, the burdens and the benefits of research must be distributed fairly. As I understand it, there were a plethora of other rules and policies in place to protect human research subjects, which collectively became known as the Common Rule in 1991. Human research ethics are meant to protect us from this kind of experimentation, and yet, Adriana's case shows how these protections can fail, particularly for Black women. Human research ethics are meant to protect us from this kind of experimentation, and yet, Adriana's case shows how these protections can fail, particularly for Black women. This continues a culture of mistrust of the medical system, and my goal as a medical illustrator is to correct that one illustration at a time. Representation isn't decoration. It's education. It's advocacy. It's a step towards trust. If you listened today, please take a moment to reflect. Think about Adriana Smith, Dr. Shailen Irving, and the generations of Black women whose lives have been undervalued by medicine. Ask questions, educate yourself, advocate for yourself and your loved ones, because these women deserved better, and the least we can do is not look away. Thank you, and I'll talk to you later.
This has been a Legacy BioStudios LLC production, providing scientific and medical illustrations and animations to researchers, inventors, startups, and companies. Legacy BioStudios, illustrate your legacy. For more podcasts and blogs, go to our website at legacybiostudios.com. For more content, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Biostudio.